Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hello and welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I'm Ryan Eichten, and back with me after a few weeks off here is Leo Sun. Leo, how you doing?
6 weeks, Ryan. Man, I cannot believe it's been 6 weeks. It feels like we were, you know, it was just yesterday we were on, but I miss you, man. It was interesting me sharing little videos of, hey, to my wife, have you seen the new Anthony Edwards 2s, the AE 2s that came out? She's like, I don't care about this. And I'm like, man, I miss Ryan. but yeah, I mean, like, it's been cool, though. You know, I feel like over time, you know, just personally, how things have gone the last, you know, summer, the last couple months of summer, you know, I've turned into this, like, slowly evolving, crotchety old get off my lawn man as a homeowner now. And I'm, like, looking out the window. I was like, who's that? You know, and I don't like that one bit. I don't like who I've become. And I blame it on the lack of, you know, involvement in Wolves, you know, podcasts with our pod, and you know, not as much stuff coming out on the other, you know, usual suspects of the Wolves podcast network. And so, yeah, I blame it on that. So hopefully this will get me back in the right mood, but you know, happy I'm alive and you know, we're here, Ryan. How about you? How have you been the last 6 weeks?
Yeah, it's been good to take a break. As much as we love talking about the Wolves over and over, for us that aren't financially tied to the team as much as the full-time people, we can just kind of take a break when things especially die down. It feels like a long time ago. Like Jack and I did a pod a couple weeks ago. JK and I did John Krasinski did a pod a few weeks before that. But it's been nice to enjoy the summer. And as we get closer, media day is 5 weeks from today. So kind of start to have some actual podcasts, maybe some stuff to talk about. We're not quite there yet. We're still, it's really the doldrums of like, we can talk about like, whatever Finch said on KFan today at the fair or whatever else. But I think we got a nice smorgasbord of topics to go over, fill ourselves some time, and looking forward to the start of training camp. And even if we overanalyze training camp, whenever preseason games we get, it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to do our first segment here, which is top five Anthony Edwards words in Chinese that he said on his China tour right now. No, I'm just kidding. That would be fun to do. You know, he's got the ni hao down, so I'll give him that. No, but it is interesting for us to like take every little, you know, piece of news. It's just like these rabid, starving, you know, coyotes that we are right now, where it's like, oh, did you see that picture? You know, Jaden McDaniels working out with Kawhi, like it's happening. You know, all these other things. Julius Randle's participating in these Nico Hines workouts during the summer. Did you see him? He's been working on his dribble. You know, so just really extrapolating that. You know, I don't think we're quite at Ben Simmons shirtless workout part of the year yet. I think that's still coming in the next coming weeks. But
I thought didn't we get Rudy shooting jumpers? That's the Wolves equivalent of that.
You know, I saw Yoan Berenger shoot a jumper in a mysterious cool edit workout video. Could have been Rudy. Who knows?
But. Yeah, I mean, the ant in China stuff has been not surprisingly fairly hilarious. I'm not, everything that's kind of gone on there has been classic ant, which is good for him. The new shoes look good. That's kind of the main point of the trip is Adidas parading him around.
Should we be changing our podcast name to Four Words Ni Hao What's Happening? Because I feel like that might be the new one.
I will defer to you on that one. How about that?
Oh my gosh. If the Wolves win a championship this year, I might strongly have to convince my wife or just take the L on it with her getting mad at me for like the next 5 years and get Ni Hao What's Happening tattooed somewhere on myself. That's going to be the new Nas Reed tattoos. Ni Hao What's Happening.
Yeah, I will say you'll enjoy this. I'll shout her out because I saw a picture of, she had, I'm going to butcher the last name, Sarah Bernich. She, on Twitter, she posted a picture of herself in a t-shirt at the fair, and it is, and aunt shooting the Spider-Man guns at Luca is her shirt. So that's phenomenal. But
that's sick.
Well, until the Wolves actually start playing basketball games, we do have a Minnesota team playing basketball, and that's the Minnesota Lynx, who are by far in first place. It's been funny kind of watching them. I mean, I've been tracking basically them with the Lynx, or the Liberty, excuse me, we're neck and neck kind of the whole first half of the season. And with the Liberty kind of falling down, the Liberty wouldn't even have home court in the first round of the playoffs if that started today. The Lynx are well on their way to the first seed. They got to win two of their next eight games. If they had beaten Atlanta the other week, they would have already clinched the one seed. But I think they can, or they got seven games left. They got to go 2-5. I think they'll get there.
Yep.
I wrote it down. I think 34 is the wins record. Not the win. This is the most games in a right. WNBA season. Yep. So it's the win total record. It's probably unlikely they'll get the win percentage record, just because they're going to clinch the one seed, and they'll probably have a game or two where they just kind of let go of the rope or whatever. But the Lynx are dead on title favorites. And I've been kind of tracking the Vegas odds, because I kind of felt like halfway through the season, when they were even just a game or two up and the Liberty were clear favorites, I was like, this is the, you get plus 220 on the Lynx, I believe. So if you bet 100, you win 220. I thought that was insane. And now they're down closer, almost like even money now. But they're six games. They're going to be the one seed, and Fee's going to win MVP. I don't know if we want to start there, but like Fee.
Started.
The MVP conversation has been insane to me, because like people just gotta, like, I know, like, I don't gamble on sports, but just look, the Vegas lines on so much can help you. Fee has been like the clear favorite by Vegas to win MVP for months. She is like minus, I should just look it up, WNBA finals or no, MVP odds. She's huge odds. And the only player that even has a chance, according to Vegas, is Asia Wilson. She's minus 600. So if you bet $600, you only get 100 back. Like, I don't know why the discourse, and it's crazy how the W discourse just like is the worst thing ever half the time. At least this is like on the court.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Fee's going to win MVP. And it's just not even worth like debating. Like, you can debate if she deserves it, I guess, but like, it's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Whether you like it or not. I mean, for those of you who maybe don't follow the Lynx as much, or just following the women's basketball, professional women's basketball here in the States, a lot of WNBA Twitter or social media, Blue Sky, whatever you want to call it. I'm not claiming to be like the WNBA social media historian here, but has very often for the longest time been stan culture. Like, you really stan a player, and like, that's it. Nothing else matters. Like, anything that isn't saying that your favorite player isn't the best player in the league, then it's like, oh, you're dissing my player, basically. And look, I love Asia Wilson. I think Alyssa Thomas has been one of my favorite players for a long time. But even like when you look at it quantitatively, Nafisa Collier is having the best statistical season right now. When you're looking at all the advanced numbers, I mean, you look at the simple box score numbers, even then she's winning the majority of those numbers, but just efficiency wise, how much winning she's driving, how many more all-stars does Asia Wilson have on her team than Nafisa Collier? I mean, you can look at all these different things. I mean, yeah, the Aces technically are the hottest team in the league right now. They won 10 in a row, including a narrow, narrow win today against almost last place Chicago Sky, who's a draft pick we have this year. But yeah, I mean, Asia Wilson's playing great. I'm not taking anything away from her at all. But Fee just has every case locked in. I mean, the Lynx are, again, pretty much locked in as a number one seed, like 99% chance it's going to be number one seed. They play against the Connecticut Sun a couple times, against the Valkyries. You know, they have a couple lower level teams that they're going to be playing here. So it's pretty much sealed. Statistically, she has it. She's the best player on the best team. There's no reason why she plays both sides of the ball. Like, you know, just there's no reason why she shouldn't be. And so for those of you who are unaware, she did miss about a month of the season due to a nagging ankle injury. And she came back yesterday against the Indiana Fever. She dropped a casual 32 points on 80% true shooting percentage. I mean, come on. Like, this is someone that's in their first game back from injury. That's just absolutely dominant. And so, you know, I'm going to kind of bleed this into my overall thoughts about the Lynx. Ryan and I and the rest of our team over at Canada Super, shout out to Betty Hughes and to Mitchell Hansen. You know, we've all been working together to cover such a historical Lynx team. I don't know if I've ever followed a team, a sports team that I'm actively rooting for that I felt this confident in.
Yep.
Like, the bar is maybe a little low with the Timberwolves, but that said, like, I've watched the Lynx for a long time, and, you know, short of their dynasty years, this is probably the most confident I've ever been in a team. And, like, I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch. I'm not saying the Lynx will win the WNBA championship. Okay. But my fears that I had previously, especially even early in the season when we were doing well, was, oh, we might not have enough star power. We might not have enough size to deal with these bigger teams. All of that has been erased. Like, my belief and confidence as a team is that the way they fight and adjust in a way that other teams just can't. Even, like, you look at the Liberty, you look at the Dream, you look at the Mercury, even the Aces, like, they just don't have that next gear in terms of adaptability and never giving up on a game. I mean, there's just so many games this year. Again, you've been watching it like Ryan and I have, that they're down double digits, even the second half. And even then, it's like, I know they're coming back. I know they're coming back. They have not been blown out once, short of, I guess you want to call it, the Commissioner's Cup Finals game, once this season. Like, they lost by 10 points, I think it was to the Storm, but that was one of those that it just got away late. Like, it wasn't like they were blown out and, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I'm super confident.
Yeah, that's what I just enjoy, like, the joy they play with. I tweeted it out. Yeah. I covered the game about a week ago when they beat the Liberty for the third time. They're just fun to watch. Target Center, I thought Target Center that day was this, it was like a Saturday afternoon. It was as loud as any Wolves game I've really been to. They're just fun to watch. And I tweeted out a bunch of times for, like, Minnesota sports fans and Wolves fans especially, like, if you're just not watching them, you're just missing out. And we don't have to dive deep into this because, like, we know why it's not, why people, like, people don't like basketball. That's fine. But, like, the W is as popular as, like, the difference in popularity between, like, the W and the NHL is not that big. And so, like, you can't, like, in the past, like, I get, like, it's hard to join onto the new league where it's not as popular, but, like, the W is popular now. So I just want people to like, to enjoy it. Cause, like, especially, like, the, and I can be this way too, like, the Minnesota sports, woe is me, we never get anything. It's just like, well, now you're just like, you're purposely avoiding it. So you can be woe is me. Cause, like, you got one here, and it's like the league has exploded in popularity. The players are as, and the business is doing as well as it's ever done. And it just feels like the mainstream sports fan is still like a step behind. And that just kind of stinks.
Yeah, there's so many reasons to be following it right now, even if not for the basketball of it all, which is, again, an amazing product. If you love basketball, if you are like a hoops purist, like, you actually love the sport of basketball, you will love these games. Like, there's no doubt about it in my mind.
It's a better game than men's college hoops. Yeah, just
exactly.
Is.
It absolutely is. Like, if you're in it, again, you can like different things, that's fine, you know, stylistically, but if you're in it for, like, the clout and, like, oh, I want to see someone's ankles get broken, or I want to see someone get dunked on, like, okay, yeah, you can go, you know, watch your, what do you call it, like, Overtime Elite, or, like, you know, whatever little creators cups and things, you go watch shows, like, that's fine, you can like that. But again, if you love the sport of basketball, I mean, the WNBA, it doesn't really get much better than that, in my opinion. And so, you know, I will say this as well, too. So if you like hoops, WNBA is great, especially the Lynx. You should definitely watch the Lynx if you love basketball. But even just from, like, a personality, a storytelling aspect of it all as well, too. I mean, look at the Stud Buds. Like, I know I am someone that I've been watching the Stud Buds every time they stream live. You know, I'm subscribed. You know, I'm on it. It's just hilarious, dude. It seriously cracks me up. Like, my wife knows about them. You know, she wants to say, oh, are they on? Are they streaming right now? Because they're fucking hilarious, dude. I love it. There's so much personality. And not even just for the personality, but what they're doing for the LGBT community as well, too. Like, they're putting forward a storyline about, you know, who are the Stud Buds? They're not just two lesbian players playing the WNBA. Like, what, you know, what are studs? What does it mean to root for gay women's athletes that aren't just, you know, broadcast as, like, this very super feminine type that we've seen for a long time? And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but they're telling a new story that hasn't been told before. And again, that's just so much fun to watch. And I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. I wonder, just down the stretch of the season, what is there to look for? Like, because, like you mentioned, the Lynx have proven all they need to prove, and it's kind of, we're at the point in the season, especially as the standings, they pulled away from everyone else by a good, that like, anyone passing them, like, what do you think, who should they can't really control this, but who would you want to see and not want to see in the playoffs obviously we feel like they could beat. I think the ideal is the Liberty getting their crap together and getting in, and them and the Aces being 2-3. I think that would be ideal for the, I think we would agree, especially the Aces have won 11 in a row. I think them and the Liberty are clearly the next best teams in the league. So if you could avoid them, but like if the Liberty can't do that and they're in the 4 or 5 seed, I think it's not ideal, but if you want to like, so that second round series would be a 5-game series and the finals are now 7. So you'd have a greater percentage of the series at Target Center in the second round. So that'd be interesting, but I think just kind of avoiding having to play both the Aces and the Liberty would be ideal. So you're kind of, it's weird, but you're kind of rooting for the Liberty to start winning some games here and kick the Dream and the Mercury down into the Lynx pre-finals bracket.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, another team I'll throw in there is the second place Atlanta Dream. They're the only team in the WNBA that's beat the Lynx twice so far this season, I believe. And they have legit size. I mean, I think people look at the Dream and think, okay, oh, well, they have Brittany Griner. It's like Brittany Griner's come off the bench sometimes this season. Breonna Jones has been killing it right now. Alicia Gray having a great season as well. Jordan Canada has been out with injury, but even despite that, they've won 8 of their last 10. You know, the Dream are playing really, really good, and they're tied for second right now with the Aces. It's funny, though, when you do kind of zoom out, any of you who haven't looked at the standings, like Ryan was saying earlier, the Liberty are closer to missing the playoffs than they are to the number one seed. Like, that's how much has changed for them right now. And it's maybe even less to do with the Liberty and more to do with how good the Lynx have been. I mean, there's the Dream and the Aces are tied for the second seed with six games back. And then right below them are the Mercury and the Liberty, who are also tied at 7.5 games back. And those are kind of like the top 5 teams right there you're looking after. That there's a pretty good drop off to the Storm. And then you have like your Valkyries and your Fever, who aren't really, you know, true contenders, or even your Sparks that might try and limp in there. But yeah, you know, it's really going to be about matchups, I think.
Yeah, I agree. But ultimately, the Lynx have, they've just, like you said, they've proven everything. Ideally, if there is a weakness, it's size. But the Lynx have papered over that as best they can. And they have, I think, Fee and Alana Smith are as good as a front court as any team has. And I'm super pumped. I'm hoping to cover a few or as many games as I can down the stretch of the playoffs. Are there any Golden State? Would you go up to San Francisco if that ends up being a thing?
I would love to. I'm not gonna get a chance to go up during the regular season. They have one more game in San Francisco. I think it's early September here, so I won't be able to make it to that one. But they do play, I heard, you know, Valhalla, you know, San Francisco at Chase Center. It's been really rocking in there, so I would definitely love to go, if not just for the vibes of it all. It'd be a lot of fun. So yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, the Fever, you know, kind of leapfrog the Valkyries in standings and put the Valkyries down in 8th. That would be really cool for me. But outside of that, yeah, there's not as many. I don't think LA is going to limp in for that one. And, you know, it'll be fun. I'm just really excited to see what they do. I got to give a big shout out also Jessica Shepherd as well, too. Those of you who missed it, had a near triple-double in the first half. So when we're talking about the Lynx size, like, yes, pure height-wise, they're not the tallest team. Girth-wise, they're not the heaviest team, but they got some real players there in the front court between V, you said, Land, you know, obviously another in the mix for defensive player of the year. And then you got Jessica Shepherd coming off the bench, who's really a starter. Even Maja Klinovikova, I mean, she's been playing really solid as well too. A rookie, and she's not technically a rookie, played for the Sparks a long time ago, but first year with the Lynx too. So
yeah, and you kind of mentioned Chicago's pick earlier, but I have a, so if you play like NBA 2K's GM mode.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do is to flip off injuries. And the hard mode is only doing that, but the next mode is like bumping up some of the player stats. But the goal is to both win the championship and have the number one pick in the next year. And true. If the Lynx do that, which if they win, they only have a 25%. The 25% chance of winning the lottery is probably a smaller. It's more likely that they win the title and not win the lottery than the other way around. But they have the Skies pick. And I think I've already mentioned the fair twice in this pod, the Minnesota State Fair. So I'll do it a third time because Stud Buds were out there today. And AZ Fudd was out there last week. I think that's who they should be targeting. If for nothing else, just we got to try to get. Try to get Paige here, because
that's the one.
Yeah, that'd be the Dallas is a mess. I don't want to be stealing people's players, but that'd be the goal. So if drafting AZ would help in that process in any way,
those of you who are unfamiliar, AZ is going to be in the draft next year, projected top three pick. And she is currently Paige Becker's best friend and girlfriend right now. So those of you who did not know, that is why. But she's a phenomenal basketball player in her own right. But Paige, for sure, is the crown jewel that we're trying to get here.
Yeah, and former teammate, probably more importantly, on the court. That's fun, but I think obviously the focus is on the next few months. Do you have any other lingering Lynx thoughts before, let's see, the playoffs start in about a month here, and they go until they last about a month. Game 7 of the finals would be mid-October, I think I saw, and then the playoffs start in mid-September. It's championship or bust, for better or for worse. I think the team has said as much, and they're hungry for it. I think I'm far from the first person to bring up this, but there's so the comparisons between this team and the 2014 San Antonio Spurs. There's just so many parallels. Fee and Tim Duncan are such a similar type of player. I kind of like Courtney Williams and Tony Parker as a comp. I guess that makes Courtney Williams Manu. I don't think the crossover quite works there, but, and then obviously, Pop is Cheryl. Probably the perfect one. And the Spurs lost the 13 title. It's the Ray Allen shot. The Lynx lost the title, came a single point in regulation in game 5 from winning. So coming back and revenging that, and just kind of like it's a little bit different where the Spurs titles from 10 years prior, they had Duncan and Ginobili, like the core of the team was there, where the Lynx, their players have completely, their roster has completely flipped over since their title team. So other than Cheryl, obviously, but it'd be a fantastic revenge story, and a parade down through Minneapolis would be fantastic.
Yeah, all I'm going to say, my last thoughts on this, I wish I was in Minnesota, because I would be going to so many Lynx games just as a spectator. It's always rocking in there. Again, if you've never been to a WNBA game, now is literally the perfect time for you to go. Catch the Lynx right now while you still can. Another regular season for sure in the playoffs. Support our gals. They love it. They put on a show, and I think you're just having a great time if you go.
Yeah. I agree. Whether that's the rest of this regular season, if you want to go and get in at a cheaper price, or pay the money for the playoff tickets. I went to game 4 of the finals last year. Was a bunch of fun. I'm looking forward to getting out to some more playoff games. They'll have they're guaranteed at least one, and I think they'll have more than that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Yes, sir.
But let's move on to our next topic. We got a hot take segment. Convince me I'm wrong. We'll each share a hot take that we have, and the other person will try to play devil's advocate and convince the other person that they're wrong. So Leo, I'll leave it to you. Convince me.
I'm bringing some of that SoCal heat, Ryan. I am saying that Rudy Gobert will be coming off the bench for the Minnesota Timberwolves by the All-Star break. Convince me I'm wrong, Ryan.
I just think that Rudy is such a valuable regular season player. The concerns about his playoff viability are fair, and we saw it basically in every game but one, the finishing game out in LA. We saw his limitations there. But as a regular season force, I think a big reason why they turned around last season or started to win games was Rudy was playing really well. In that softer part of the schedule when they started to win games. And I just think this team is, if Rudy's going to be on the roster, he's going to play a big part. And I just don't think moving him to the bench we saw the limitations from the like the Randle Naz Reid front court. And I think for the regular season, they're just going to kind of starting lineup, as much as people don't like the starting lineup. And I get that. I think they're going to run it back. Maybe Mike doesn't, maybe Dante plays, starts a few more point guard games, but I think they're going to run it back. And we saw it from March on, they were a 50 plus win team pace from then on. And I think Rudy having a full offseason, no playing for France, just focusing on his game, maybe focusing on, I don't know. I'm dubious that he's going to be able to add some sort of mid-range shot or a hook shot. Like, I think we would have seen that by now, either here or Utah. But I just think, at least for one more year, I think we're still in this kind of transition point. Like, it's still like a, obviously Ant is the focal point, but like the next layer down being kind of controlled by Rudy and Mike. I think this is probably the last year of the team's identity being around those two. And it's not to say one or both of them won't be on the roster next year. Rudy is likely to be on the roster next year. Mike would be the one that would, he'll be a free agent, so retirement could be an option. We'll see how he plays this year, but I think at least one more year we'll see this roster, and in next off season, depending on how the season goes, depending on how guys play and how things fit, I think you'll see either a big move to shake up the team or a smaller move that sees Naz in the starting lineup. But I think if I'm trying to convince you, I think you're ahead of the curve by about half a season.
Make a very compelling argument, Ryan. Those of you podcast listeners cannot see why I'm crossing my arms and condescendingly nodding along as Ryan speaks here about this. Now, I don't disagree with a lot of what you say. And again, this is hot take central, but I personally feel that the Rudy Gobert era is closer than we think. Like you said, maybe I'm a little bit early on this, but I think the writing's on the wall for Rudy. It's no secret that, you know, he's been our secret sauce, like you said, during the regular season. He's helped us, you know, really get to that, you know, keep our ceiling from being, or our floor from being so low that we're in the play-in or anything like that. So, you know, that said, I think you look at just the contract makeup of it, and you look at his age, and you just see, like, even, like, what has been one of the most consistent factors, common denominators in our late playoff runs between losing to the Mavericks in 2024 and now losing to the Thunder in 2025 is that Rudy's numbers aren't terrible in terms of like the advanced numbers of it and his plus minus and those types of things, but he's just plays such a small part in the scheme, especially on the offensive end where it's really hurting us. And I feel like that's kind of capped us. And so, you know, they say Sandy is, you know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting things to be different. Is that the, you know, Coach Finch and them can't continue just to do the same thing. Like, all right, well, let's just roll Rudy out, keep our season, our regular season from kind of bottoming out. And then the playoffs, you know, we'll just try and, like, you know, slowly phase them out and see how that works. Where it's like, yeah, it got us the Western Conference Finals, which isn't bad. But I mean, that's not where we're trying to finish. So I do think that they have to transition out Rudy sooner than later. And I think when you look at the fact that between him, Naz Reid, and Julius Randle, they're making over 50% of the cap for the next 2 to 3 years. They have to start transitioning him out sooner than later instead of waiting for him to become unplayable, untradeable, and then now they're just stuck with this like sunk asset here. And so I think Rudy's the oldest and creakiest of the three, you know, between Naz and Rudy and him, Naz, Julius, and him. And I think, you know, we focus so much on the age at expiration date of Mike Conley, and, you know, rightfully so. I've been transitioning him to Rob. I get it. That's definitely a part of it. I'm not saying Mike is going to be here forever, but I think that's kind of taken some of the limelight away from the fact that we got to transition out of Rudy as well, too. I'm not saying straight to Yoan Berenguer, but, you know, getting Naz more reps. I think we should be nearing the start of the Naz Reid starting center experiment by March 2026. And I'm not saying that Naz Reid's going to be ready. He is certainly a almost opposite player to who Rudy Gobert is. So I'm not saying it's going to be great, but it has to be some transition because we can't just wait until Rudy's unplayable and then be like, all right, Naz, you're starting. So look, that is my hot take. That is my defense of it. Ryan, do you have any final rebuttals to that or anything you want to call me out on? Please, by all means.
Yeah, I my thing with the playoffs is just kind of like, the Dallas series, I thought it was more, that one was closer to exploiting Rudy's weaknesses, and Cat didn't play well really on either side of the floor of that series, and that one made sense if you're looking at like, just can you win four playoff series in a row with Rudy Gobert as your starting center? And this last one against OKC, and really the whole playoffs, other than the game in LA I mentioned, was I never thought he was, like, playing well. Or it wasn't a schematic thing with OKC. I thought, like, it's not like Chet. I mean, there's a few three-pointers that's like you'd want Rudy to get out there a little bit more. And Chet played well, but, like, I never thought it was, like, Chet as a matchup problem for Rudy, right? I just didn't – never – They needed Rudy. I believe OKC was one of the worst offensive rebounding teams or defensive rebounding teams in the league, and they make up for that with their turnovers. But it was like, to win that series, they needed Rudy to get X number of offensive rebounds, and he got half of that theoretical number. That was the biggest thing, and we saw it in one game. They crushed the late. Like, I think people don't remember how they blew the Lakers out in that last game. It just didn't seem like it because they had as bad of a three-point shooting game as you've ever seen. Like, the Wolves in that game five crushed the Lakers. And you saw it. Like, if they got that Rudy in the OKC series, they absolutely win game four along with game three, and now you got a series. They probably end up losing in six or seven anyway, but, like, they needed that Rudy. And I think we will see more of that, enough of that, where a shift to the bench this offseason or this midseason is going to become unlikely. But if we see what we saw from him in the playoffs again this year, it's going to be hard not to shift something. But I agree with you in the sense of the future of this team is going to be, I think, some sort of five out look. I think there's still questions to be wondered. Like, if Naz is that guy defensively, I think certainly if Naz is your starting center, I worry about that defensively, even if the rest rebounding of your lineup,
yeah.
And especially like if you're replacing Mike and Rudy with Rob and Naz, like, your defense, that's just not a good defensive look.
Sure.
And Randall is that what a average defender? And his weaknesses are maximized when he's next to the court with, like, it's just not a very good defensive lineup. So they have some, I agree, like, a pivot is coming. They need to pivot away from this. And I do think a five out look is good for Ant, especially. I don't know what that move is. And so in the meantime, I just think they're going to stick with it. My hot take would be, like, what is more likely, not like greater than 50% likely, but what is more likely is Rudy Gobert is not on the team past whatever the deadline date is.
Okay. I didn't say coming off the bench for who. So, no, I don't disagree with you. You know, I think that's fair. Last thing I'll say about this is that, yeah, I mean, Rudy may have not been individually, you know, bad, but I do think, as we all know, he's kind of limiting the ceiling of this offense quite a bit, if not even just for his lack of production, but just in his the floor spacing that he eats up in the middle of the floor, that allowing someone to sag back and be able to throw two at Ant and Julius when they're driving in. And oh, yes, he dominated the Lakers. I will forever, as much as I am not a fan of Rudy Gobert off the court, on the court, I will forever have to give him his flowers for just dismantling the Los Angeles Lakers in game five and making my wildest dreams come true. And in so facto, making Shaq pretend to vomit while watching his highlights on TV. So, you know, shout out Rudy. We'll see what happens this year. I would love to hear you, Ryan. Okay, so what is your convince me I'm wrong take here?
Yeah. One thing, just to pick on the Lakers somewhere.
Yeah.
So they watch that game and they're like, you know what, we can beat the Timberwolves now. We're going to get DeAndre Ayton. That'll fix it. I think, because you remember talking before that series, and I was like, this is the worst the Wolves, I'm going to talk like this because I sound dumb now. This is the worst the Lakers are going to be. They're going to be so much better next year because they're just going to sign a center and that's all they need. They didn't do anything. And their one move, Ayton, I just don't believe in that big picture. I mean, it's certainly a better player than they've had. That they had in that basically post AD.
Is it though? this is, I mean, I think, like, yes.
Oh,
I
you
want to
stick
it? Yeah.
Okay, so Leo's sticking up for Jackson Hayes. Got it.
No, I'm not sticking up for Jackson Hayes. I'm sticking with the run small DFS and Rui Hachimura out there. I'll take that. No,
they don't
right?
have. Even, they lost him too. They lost
that's
DFS.
What I'm saying. They got Jake LaRavia. This is Jake LaRavia erasure. You're telling me they didn't add a meaningful piece?
Is he on
I'm
the
just
Lakers?
Kidding. He is on the Lakers. Wow. He did. He did spur the Sacramento Kings, my Sacramento Kings, to sign an extension or a deal with the Lakers. So he will be somewhere on that roster. So they did make some move for a player who should be able to play basketball in the front court. But we shall see how much.
Since he was in Charlotte. Who's the center they traded for but backed out on?
Mark Williams.
Yeah. Ever since that fell apart, I've just been so confused what they've been doing. I get. They saw something in his medicals and backed out. But like, ever since then, I've just been so confused what they've been doing
they've
at their center
like,
position.
They've had like 5 months to figure it out.
I mean, you know what? I think they know they're not good enough and they're waiting for LeBron to be off the roster. I think that's what's happening.
Hey, look, you know what? If LeBron needs to go somewhere, we'll take him. All right. If he wants to come here, we'll take him. All right. No, but you ain't
Julius
gotta
Randle,
ask me twice. Yeah.
Julius Randle's a great rim protector. LeBron for Randle straight up.
Hey, look, some say Julius Randle was better than LeBron in the playoffs. So facts, the numbers back it up. So,
yeah. All right. My convince me that I'm wrong. The Wolves will finish as a top two seed in the West this upcoming season.
Ryan. Top two in the West, huh? Look, I don't fault you for that. I love the optimism of it. I know it's a hot take, so you're not necessarily expecting this to happen. But I think expecting a year or two of the Julius Randle Wolves following the same trajectory as a year or two of the Gobert Wolves might not be the same explosion. I think a lot of people are anticipating saying, oh, we'll just give them another year. I do think they will get better. It's not necessarily an indictment on the Wolves, but more a compliment to how good the West is now. I think the 2024 Minnesota Timberwolves, if you can kind of rewind here, so we're talking about the first place for most of the season Wolves that ultimately lost to the Mavericks. They were contending in a conference during the regular season with a young OKC team. You know, at that point, they were still a little premature. We saw it in the postseason, and they kind of snuck up into the first seed, kind of surprised some people. People think it was maybe going to be the Wolves or Nuggets there. And then they faced a similar, championship level Nuggets team. Now the Nuggets did lose some players, but you would say that this 2025-26 Nuggets team is probably better than that 24-25 Nuggets team. You have a late blooming Mavs team, so they made all those trades for Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, so they came on late, but they were definitely late bloomers. But then after that, you had like the final PG Kawhi Harden Clippers like iteration, and there was just a bunch of fodder after that. I mean, it was like you had like, Pelicans in there. You had, I think it was the Lakers, the 8 seed or something in there that, got gentlemen swept in the first round. So again, I think that year things shaped up well for the Wolves to be. Again, they finished, what was it, number 3, right? But they should have been a top 2 seed that year. Now this year, you think about this upcoming season, they're going to be dealing with, again, a historically dominant Thunder team that are going to get better. I don't think that's a question anyone's wondering about, right? And then you have the reloaded Nuggets, like I said. So even that alone, that's really, for me, I think that's grounds for the Wolves to finish third realistically. And then outside of that, you have the threatening Rockets, who, again, they were the, what, 2 seed last year, right? They were the 2 seed. And they added KD. They lost Jalen Green, which is an addition by subtraction type of move for them. And then lastly, instead of just a bunch of fodder, you have, okay, we were just making fun of the Lakers, but this is kind of like final act Lakers in terms of LeBron era here, as we said. He's probably on his way out, so there's kind of their last shot with LeBron. This is kind of almost, I would call it the last shot Warriors as well, too. I mean, Jimmy Butler is not going to get any healthier, any younger as he goes through this. The Warriors also refuse to really make any offseason trades. We still have Jonathan Kuminga as of right now. But they also have the last-ditch Clippers team. Now, that's a real last-ditch team. And we're talking Bradley Beal, we're talking Chris Paul.
They're doing that on purpose, by the way. All their contracts run out, I believe, not this upcoming offseason, but the next one. They're gonna, they'll get a free agent. That's the whole point of. And in the meantime, their team is not garbage. So
right, exactly. So it's like you have that with just looking at all that. I think there's just so much more talent. I've never been one to be like, oh, the West is gonna be unbeatable. In years past, but I think this season you're really gonna see it. And yes, there will be some Ouroboros with teams taking out one another, but I think that includes the Wolves. I think we will also all kind of cannibalize one another. That I don't feel confident with them being a top two seed because again, there may be only a game or two separating seeds. I would say two all the way through down to like 6 or 7. And so for me to bet on the Wolves as top two team, I'm not hearing that.
Yeah, I think San Antonio is another team that should and can
Could
make
be.
The playoffs.
Yeah.
this upcoming season. I'm just going, so they're currently projected, like just looking at their win totals, would be fourth. They're slightly behind Houston and Denver. I have no expectation of them being close to OKC. If you want to nitpick, OKC is a playoff team. You can try to do that as a regular season team. They're just, they're insane. And so I don't, you kind of mentioned all the teams kind of behind them, Lakers, Clippers, Warriors. I don't think it's a hot take that the Wolves should finish in the regular season ahead of those teams.
Sure.
So it's really, it's really like for them to get the, like the 2-3-4 seed in my mind will be Denver, Houston, and the Wolves. And personally, I just like the Wolves' chances of being a better regular season team than Denver because of their depth. Denver did good adding depth, but I do still think, like, ultimately Bruce Brown is a minimum player. Valanciunas is a bench player. They did great to, and I do think, like, I'm not going to stand for Michael Porter Jr. or anything, but, like, their talent ceiling, their talent ceiling is lower. And I think while I would give them a lot of props for the moves they made this offseason, I do kind of think that, like, the conversation about that needs to reset in the sense of, but that the fact that they had to almost salary dump Michael Porter Jr. should, like, they dug themselves out of a grave or a pit, but we should still point out they were in a pit. Like, they did well, but they still, a lot of the problems they've had these past couple of years are still there, and they're still, I mean, I think they'll be much better this year, especially as a playoff team. I have no worry. To me, they're a better team. They're better set up than the Wolves by a solid margin, but just as a regular season team, I like the Wolves' chances to, just because, like, basically the Wolves 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys are much better than Denver's, and that matters a lot in the regular season, and it matters much less in the playoffs. Although the Lakers showed you got to get to at least like 5 or 6. And then as far as Houston, this might be like, I just kind of think maybe I'm jaded by like what happened to Kevin Durant in Phoenix. I don't think he's the player anymore that's going to join a team and immediately make them like regular season wins good. And so I do kind of think that the Rockets lost a little bit of what made them so special last year in terms of like Dylan Brooks played a good amount of, played well for them, played, he's a flawed player for sure. And so is it, the point guard they traded away, Jalen Green. He's a flawed player as well. And obviously they did great with that trade. Like, there's very little downside for them. I just think it's going to take them a little bit of time to figure out, like, just figure out their team. Enough so that I think the Wolves can and should have a leg up on them finishing the regular season. Now, if we're talking who are like the top three or four teams to win the West, Houston, I might quibble over the Wolves, but certainly I do think Denver has like more championship equity than the Wolves do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a case to be made. So, you know, I'm not going to argue that that's impossible. I got to throw in there when we're talking about the Nuggets. They also did add Tim Hardaway Jr. Now, again, he is kind of a one-way player. But I was just looking at his career splits right now. He averaged the third highest amount of points per game against the Timberwolves in his career. And I feel like every time we watch Tim Hardaway Jr., he's going off, like, on us. And so, you know, again, that's another bench piece that they're adding there instead of relying on, say, like, a Julian Strother or even, like, a Russell Westbrook to, you know, kind of, again, trading away Russell Westbrook, trading away Michael Porter Jr., you know, that may have ultimately, even if you say they got rid of those two guys and just replaced them with nobody, would the Nuggets have beaten the Timberwolves in those regular season games this last season, like the one that went to double overtime where Russell Westbrook just fouls Nikhil on the last play, or Michael Porter Jr. is playing terribly? So
I think that's the only game that flips.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's to say is that I think when we're looking at even that, you know, you talk about the Rockets, right? Adding KD, and that's going to take time. I just pulled up the schedule. I mean, the Wolves don't play the Rockets until January 16th. And then they play them twice again in March, at the end of March and the beginning of April. So they're at, in theory, going to be playing the Rockets when they're probably the most gelled, you know, later on. So again, those head-to-head matchups will matter a lot, I think, in the West. And so, you know, I'm not going to say it's impossible for the Wolves. I just think that top two is looking a little bit tough, especially when talking about the Rockets. Yes, I think losing Dylan Brooks, kind of that heart and soul a little bit that you lose, but I am like deathly afraid of Amen Thompson, dude. He was like Amen Thompson, the way that he was guarding Ant, just the way that he evolved, the way he played in the playoffs, even against a very veteran and game Golden State Warriors team. You know, you could say that the way that Amen Thompson and the rest of the Rockets team played against the Warriors did the Wolves a huge favor. I mean, the Warriors had to exhaust themselves to survive the Rockets in a 7-game series, which, you know, in my opinion, led to Steph Curry getting hurt in that first game because he got so worn down with Fred VanVleet living in his pocket and fouling him in a bunch. Amen Thompson being all over him. Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams not afraid to put them down on their butts later on. So, again, they still have, you know, some solid players on that team. They keep Steven Adams on the Rockets. They bring in Clint Capella, who's, again, kind of a shell of himself, but, again, another big body that, you know, Ant doesn't really prefer playing against those long, tall, rangy dudes that are hanging out in the center. So, yeah, you know, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be exciting this year for sure.
Yeah, I did think about Thompson. Obviously, he's a fantastic player. My big thing with that is, like, Ant should and really is at the point of his career where we shouldn't, he should be able to play 90% of what he is, even when guarded by them. And even Ant, I think, is a good example. I think rim protectors affect Ant more than good perimeter defenders do. I mean, yeah. Dallas won because they had solid rim protection, and OKC has both. That was the biggest reason for that. But Denver has neither. That's still a head-to-head matchup. I still have so many. I think kind of people assumed that the reason why the Wolves had success against Denver was the two big look where Cat would guard. And that was certainly part of it. But I think it's because they got no answers for Ant. Not a single, who guards Ant? Brown? Which one? Who am I talking about? Bruce Brown or?
Bruce Brown, Christian Brown. Either
way. And they don't have a rim protector. Jokic is a solid defender, probably underrated generally, but like true rim protection is not his strong suit. So
I mean, Cam Johnson's a solid defender. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to stop Ant, but I mean, you think about
it's better now, but it's not an all NBA caliber, and a wing defender versus like a guard. But that's a good point that Cam Johnson gives you a little bit more on that end than certainly
low bar.
All right, that was solid. We'll see. I think the main kind of takeaway from both they're kind of connected questions was, I just kind of think there's going to be a delineation between. I'm very confident in the Wolves regular season wise, and it's not that I think they're gonna they're a bad playoff team. It's just like the big ultimate questions. I just don't see them going away, and I just think they're gonna have. Do I think they can beat Denver specifically? Yes. Do I think they can beat Houston? I just have a hard time seeing them beat OKC because I don't think this current roster, like, they can play better. I don't quite see it, but I also didn't see the move that was there for them, especially once KD kind of took himself out of that idea. Yeah.
It's not a direct correlation, but I mean, I do think that, I mean, Ant is a dude that takes things very personally, especially when he loses to them. So you think about the way that he took losing to the Mavs two playoffs ago and the way that he traded Luka Doncic, not only in the regular season, but in the playoffs. Ant went at Luka, and again, I'm not saying that Ant single-handedly is going to demolish the OKC Thunder, but I'm damn sure he's going to come out and he's going to take it personal for better or worse. And he's going to go at the Thunder. So yeah, again, I'm not saying they're going to be better than the Thunder, but I do think that Ant's going to have definitely a bit of a vendetta in that. I think that's kind of the way he's wired.
Yeah. I am not worried about what Ant looks like this upcoming season. He's been in Minneapolis a lot of the summer.
Crazy shape.
Ant's going to be fun to watch. I think it's like, he has to make first team all NBA this year. If he's not a first team All NBA player, especially as Tatum and Haliburton are already out before the season starts, then I think Ant will have had a poor season. But next segment here, we got favorite random Wolves game. Going to kind of take a trip down memory lane and just pick out. We kind of pre-selected just the most random Wolves memory we can think of. Obviously, we could pick Denver Game 7, the Game 83 against that. Those are, everyone remembers those, although I'm not sure mine is all that obscure compared to yours, but what is your favorite random Wolves game you picked out?
anyone who has been on Canis Hoopus for more than 10 years knows that, you know, we're kind of a weird corner of the Wolves fan base over here, but we're proud and we're weird and we're proud about it. My game I'm going back to is March 1st, 2014. So kind of like zoom back here 11 years ago. Who was on the Wolves? I mean, this is what you call the Pythagorean win champ Timberwolves team led by Rick Adelman. They had Kevin Martin and Corey Brewer starting. Kevin Love was throwing like outlets to them. They were just contesting and leaking out every time. Ricky Rubio played almost every game that season. Peck was kind of in and out of the lineup. That was that Wolves team that we had that year. And for us on March 1st, we had one of our Canis Hoopus regulars been featured a lot. His name was Cynical Jason. That was his handle. And one of my close friends, Mike, a.k.a. Boston, flew Cynical Jason out to Sacramento. And he's like, hey, I got tickets. We're going to go to the Kings at Timberwolves game March 1st. I came along. I was like, all right, I brought these big head faces of Ricky Rubio, of Kevin Love, and of Nikola Pekovic. It was like kind of three of our favorite players that we had on the team that year. And so we brought these big heads over, and that was one of the first times that we really had, like, we had met Jim Peterson a little bit, you know, a couple times in passing, but that was the first time we really had a long conversation with him and Dave Benz, Marnie. We had a really good laugh about it. We took a lot of pictures there. People thought it was really funny. And then from that game forward, it was kind of the hard launch of Canis Hoopus involving themselves in Sacramento Kings games every time the Wolves were there. And so every time we went, we had different big heads. We had, you know, Rocco, we had Wiggins, we had KG, big heads. We had all those all the time. But that specific game, just to kind of go a little bit deeper into it, that was the year that, when I say Pythagorean champs, is that we were expected to win 48 games, which would have put us just tied or just right out of the eighth seed for the playoffs in 2014. But instead, that team won 40 games, lost 42, because again, it's just, you know, the numbers, net rating was there. They're a positive net rating team. They just, you know, positive point differential team. Just couldn't seal the game. Just couldn't seal games. But in that game, the Wolves are up big going to the fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, they were kind of pulling away, but the Kings made one final run. This is back at, I think it was called Sleep Train Arena back then, also known as Arco for some of you millennials out there. And the Kings made a huge run. Wolves were up 92-90. And they turn it over off of Ricky Rubio turnover. Rudy Gay goes full court, like a one-on-one fast break attempt. He just rims out a layup on like a hooking hook shot. Get the rebound. Peck gets fouled. Hits two free throws. Kings fail to score with less than a minute left. Ricky Rubio hits cans of three, like right at the end of the shot clock buzzer with 50-some seconds left, 53 seconds left. And it put the Wolves up seven, and then essentially it was a dagger. I remember I had never felt that excited at a Wolves game ever in my life, because at that point, I had believed that the Wolves were going to end the playoff drought, that game-sealing shot made it so much. I damn near like dislocated Cynical Jason, who is a much larger human being than I jumped on his shoulder, and I was like screaming and fist pumping, and I was like on cloud nine, man. That was like so much fun that I had. Wolves ended up walking away with that game. We met up with Jim Peterson after the game, had a couple drinks, and, you know, just kind of talk shop, and it was just so much fun. So for me personally, Wolves ended up winning 108-97 against the Kings March 1st. That was my favorite random Wolves game. Do you remember where you were at during that, Ryan, or were you even watching the Wolves that closely back then? 11
I actually
years ago?
Probably can. I was probably on a choir trip at the time, March of my senior year of high school. Yeah, probably.
Nice.
Yeah, this is a fun team. It's the only team that of this era that came even close to making the playoffs. Between KG leaving and then the Jimmy Butler team that finally broke the streak. The 48-win Suns missed the playoffs this year, while in the East, the 38-win Hawks made the playoffs. We're going to get a similar situation this year, by the way, just with how bad the East is. Yeah, the 48-win Suns missed the playoffs, and the 48-win Toronto Raptors were the 3 seed in the East. Like, what do we even... The East had
the
two
wild
good...
season. Yeah.
The East had two good teams that year. One was the Pacers with Paul George. Those are I really enjoyed those Paul George Pacer teams, because I was kind of a LeBron hater during those Miami years. So that was like the only shot. And then the Heat won 54 and probably weren't even trying. We're coasting through. Yeah, I mean, that team was fun, flawed probably. Guys coming off the best, Olympian Chase Bunninger.
That's right.
LeBron stopper, J.J. Barea, just 3 years removed from winning the title with Dallas. Shabazz Muhammad, who made about as poor of a financial decisions a few years later, turning down a big deal from the Wolves and then taking the minimum the next year. And Tante Cunningham, Luke Richard Bahamute, Gorgui Jang. Man,
Dante Cunningham.
Change your face, Alexi Shved.
Hell yeah, dude. You're talking my language. Ronnie Turiaf. I wanted to post a video of Ronnie Turiaf. It was that season after Kevin Love had a triple-double. And when he's being interviewed, Ronnie Turiaf like puts a towel over Kevin Love's head. And he goes, triple-double, yes! And after Jessica Shepherd had that triple-double, I wanted to post that video. But yeah, dude, core memories for sure.
And looking at Sacramento, is Quincy Acey a former Wolf?
He's not a former Wolf. He's not a former Wolf. I weirdly know almost all of them. Yeah, but that's
Derek Williams is on Sacramento's bench, so that's fun. This is a pretty crappy Sacramento team, which is a bit redundant, unfortunately, for your Kinglies over there.
It's been 11 years, and they've had 1 year of difference. The rest of it has been pretty much the same for them.
Yeah, that's a fun Wolves team. They should have They were one of the 16 best NBA teams that year.
They deserve to be. Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Just let's see if I can. Where would they have? Let me count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. They had the 17th best record. Now that's due to their schedule was probably much harder.
Yeah, the flattening of the West.
If you had a balanced schedule, they would have finished 13th. And gotten to play like Indiana, which would have been fun. Just an unfortunately, I mean, just this whole era of Wolves is like, what if Rubio doesn't get hurt? Right. What does that look like?
What if Kevin Love didn't do his quote unquote knuckle push ups?
Yeah. Or, I mean, what if they take Curry instead of Johnny Flynn? But
all right, okay, all right.
We'll move on to my favorite game. I picked the infamous Greg Monroe game.
Because
I do think it's an interesting inflection point for the Wolves. And really, they played Boston that night. Both teams were kind of at low points. So the Wolves win 108-103. I covered this game for my day job doing stats. The most insane game, maybe this and the Rudy Gobert punch game. The season later, but or the Kyle Anderson punch game, whatever you want, or the Jaden punch game, everyone was throwing.
Everyone's punching.
The reason this is interesting, so this is the season they eventually make the playoffs. Pat Bev on the table. They lose to Memphis in obviously a series they should have won, but this was only a season removed from the COVID bubble season, or I call it the bubble season, the season where they come back after the bubble, building until the playoffs really. But the health and safety protocols were the big thing. So I went back and I found the injury report from this game. This is why it was most notable. The Wolves had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys out, 7 of which were due to health and safety protocols. So they tested positive for COVID-19. And the 8th guy, Beverly, had tested positive, in theory, a couple weeks prior and basically couldn't work out. And so was out because, was still ramping up.
Conditioning, yeah.
So their starting five this game was Jordan McLaughlin, Malik Beasley, Josh Okogie, Jaden McDaniels, and Nate Knight. Nate Knight, leading scorer of those starters. Tatum was out, I believe, for COVID as well.
Yeah, COVID.
But they had, other than that, this was their team. And they beat this Celtics team, who brought this Celtics team's record to 16-18.
That's crazy.
The Wolves themselves were 16-17. Yeah. It was the one Wolves lone win in a 6-game span. It's not that hard to figure out why they didn't have anyone. So they lost a bunch of games in a row. But it's an interesting inflection point for both of them. I say this because both teams started to play better after this point. I'm pulling up the schedule. The Wolves fell on January 2nd to 16-20. They finally started to get guys back, and they finished the season at 46-36.
The Wolves back here.
I think every year Ant goes to the playoffs, they learn something. It was important for them to get back to that. The fun part about this game is probably the bench. Ready for the Wolves' 4 bench players? Jake Lehman, Chris Silva, which is not a name that
he's a real human being.
rang any bells. 3 minutes, one rebound. Good stuff. And that Jalen Nowell was the leading scorer for all players in this game with 29 points, including six three-pointers.
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, I'd have to go through, but you'd imagine Jalen Nowell's best game probably in his NBA career. And then Greg Monroe, who was really only on the roster during this time, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, plus 13, a block, 2 steals. Just an insane out-of-nowhere performance from Greg Monroe that was just signed off the street, probably is one of his last big moments in the NBA. Just an insane game. What do you remember anything from it?
I remember so much about this game. This was... for those of you, I mentioned it when Ryan was talking, but this is the Wolves back year where they had those beautiful remix jerseys. I believe it was the blue jerseys and, the Patrick Beverly, that was just such a fun year. And I remember this specific game, this was December 27th. So I was at home in NorCal for the holidays. I remember watching this game. Actually, it carries a special moment for me as well, too. I was watching the game upstairs in my bedroom. My middle brother, who doesn't really watch basketball at all, was up there with me. So was my girlfriend, now wife. And we were all watching. They were watching me watch the game, if anything. And I was just like, there's no way the Wolves win this game. And again, just Jalen Nowell, Greg Monroe coming off the bench, leading the Wolves, was just pretty crazy. And again, I was a Nathan Knight fan. Like, I love so many of the role players on this team. I could tell you at least like 3 cool things about every player on this team, like unique fun facts about each player. But I remember as they were going off, every time Jalen Nowell hit a 3, me and my brother, who took 2 years of French in high school, would say, "Joyous Nowell," like, because it was right after Christmas. We were like, "Oh, that's mm-hmm. Merry Christmas," in French, or at least my poor way of pronouncing it. And every time we're like, "Oh, it's a Christmas miracle! It's a Christmas miracle! Jalen Nowell's Joyous Nowell's going to lead the Wolves to the victory here." And not only that, I think most special is that I'll never forget. We were on the bed. We were sitting on my bed in my family's home and watching. I was watching the game, and we were all sitting there. And my brother's husky. She was laying there with us just because we're all in the same room. And I remember after we won, my brother just kept saying like, "Oh, they won the game because, you know, we have the real Minnesota Timberwolf watching this game with us," you know. And again, my middle brother, who's not really into basketball at all, doesn't really know anything about it. He knows there's a player that named Eric Dampier that played for the Dallas Mavericks. That's his one random basketball fact that he knows. But the fact that, you know, he was kind of in it and was kind of happy for me seeing how happy I was watching that game, I just remember like really kind of taking a mental snapshot of that moment and to be like, wow, like this is really nice. Like I'm with my family, with the people I care about, with our family's dog, kind of watching this game. And, Ryan, you know this, but, you know, just over a month ago, we did have to put our husky down at home. She was getting really old, you know, at that point. And I was just thinking about all the positive memories I had with my dog. And I know that was one of the ones I really had was, again, she wasn't really, you know, watching the game, but just being in there, my brother being happy that, you know, his Timberwolf was, you know, winning when the Wolves were winning right after Christmas is always like a special memory. So yeah, I for sure remember that game.
Yeah. Back when the Wolves didn't get to play on Christmas. Now they're pretty much a forced
staple.
I will list the guys that missed this game. Cause it was basically their starting 8. Patrick Beverly, Anthony Edwards, Torian Prince, Naz Reid, D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, Jared Vanderbilt, and then McKinley Wright IV. Like they just had no one. And basically every team in the NBA went through a stretch like this where they just missed. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out why. Like COVID went through the entire locker room and right. It took guys a couple weeks to come back. Like it was an insane time, and the Wolves were about 500 before they started this stretch. And I just remember thinking this game was so important, like just get any
steal
win
one.
buys yourself time. And they do respond to make the playoffs and could have and should have won their playoff series. But the other aspect of it is Boston turned around their season and really their franchise in a lot of ways. They lost their next game after this, but after that they finished the season after the loss following this Wolves game 35-12. And made the finals, lost to Golden State. If they didn't turn this season around, I bet they trade one of Brown or Tatum in the offseason and they don't win the title they won in 2024. So an interesting reflection point for both franchises.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that Joe Johnson was a listed member of that Boston Celtics team at that time. Mm-hmm. And Jabari Parker, former number two pick, played 9 minutes for the Celtics. It's a real who's who.
Oh, wow.
NBA or Hollywood movie star Juancho Hernan Gomez played 16 minutes for the Boston Celtics that game. And this must have been when Juancho was either shooting or just finished shooting Hustle with Adam Sandler, because at the end of that movie, they have Juancho actually suit up in a Celtics jersey because he was on the Celtics at the time. So it must have been around the same, because I know Juancho was not on that team all season. I think he was just on some 7-day contracts or something like that. So.
Really crazy time in the NBA with the COVID.
Crazy time in the world, man. It's crazy time in the world.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's gotten less crazy, but I get your point. All right. We'll finish up with our two words. My two words, 1 month. We got 1 month until media day. Obviously, that's still a couple weeks into the preseason and a full month really after that until the regular season. But one more month of the complete doldrums. Eventually, not sure exactly what they're waiting for, but eventually they're going to, Bones Highland will be the 14th guy on the roster. And then depending on what moves they want to make, they'll probably pick up, like if they want to keep Johnny Juzang as the 15th, leave the 15th spot open. We'll see what training camp looks like in that perspective. But one more month and then we at least get some sort of, we get basketball, whether it's just practice B-roll footage from us reporters standing in the corner of the practice gym or some preseason games. But yeah, my two words, one more month or just one month.
The Rob Dillingham to Yohan Berger scrimmage lobs are going to feed families us through these hard weeks for you Wolves fans. But again, you know, it's a month away, but in the meantime, you have Lynx basketball to watch. So that takes me to my two words is Lynx recognize. That is kind of their hashtag. It's a little bit weird, but I've kind of gotten used to it. It's Lynx recognize. And as Ryan and I kind of open with our episode today, I cannot stress to you what kind of hoops you are missing out on if you are not watching the Minnesota Lynx play basketball. Like personally, I wish that not only were you, I think they already have good attendance, so it's not that, but I hope you as a fan go out there. But I also wish that more Wolves players were showing up as well, too. I mean, I know that we saw, right around the draft, you had, Rocco Zakarski and Yohan Berger, attend a game. But since then, I don't know if I've really seen any Wolves pop up there. I know Kat used to be a regular popping up. I know Josh Okogie was always a big supporter. He would show up to those games back in the day. So, I know a lot of Wolves are back in town. Ant's on his tour right now. But, when the team is, doing these offseason workouts, hopefully they can come out and show and recognize what the Lynx are doing right now. So those are my two words.
Yeah, they'll be in the midst of training camp during the playoffs. I'm not sure if that'll make them more or less likely to spend time at Target Center, but it'll be fun. I'll echo what Leo said. Lynx are incredibly fun. Even if you just want to hop on the bandwagon for the playoffs, do it. It'll be fun. If you feel like Minnesota sports lets you down all the times, so I can't promise the Lynx won't do that, but they're less likely to do it than any other team. The Minnesota sports woe is it's really the men. The women don't seem to have a problem winning in this town. So, Well, thank you everyone for listening. We'll be back in a week or two with some more off-season content. Eventually, some preseason content here. But for Leo, I'm Ryan. Thanks for listening.
Get home, drive safe.
Go Wolves.
Ayoo.